Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Nick Keezer, intern Nick, Ladarius Robinson here with you today on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And as we do every Monday morning at 9 o'clock, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend Darren McFarland from Darren Donick and Chase. Also handles the pre- and post-game duties for the Nashville Predators Radio Network. Darren, what's going on? How are we doing?
Guys, good morning. I know there was a song called The Devil Went Down to Georgia. The devil also went down I-24. That's my life. And, yeah. Good morning, Satan, on I-24. I wish they would just implode. A lot of people want rosters imploded. I wish they would implode this highway and just start over here in Middle Tennessee. But anyway, I digress. Guys, I'm doing great.
Sounds like a lot of fun out there on the interstates this morning. So, Darren, we got a lot to talk about here. We'll get to Game 4 coming up tonight between the Preds and the Avalanche here in just a second. I do want to get your thoughts on this that has just happened in the NHL. The New York Islanders have fired Barry Trotz. He has been relieved of his duties as head coach. I'm kind of floored by this. The New York Islanders haven't been relevant in three decades, and he takes them to back-to-back conference finals, and they missed the playoffs 1 year, and he's fired. What do you make of that move? And you know what the reaction to that's going to be all day long here in Nashville.
I'm sorry, Robbie. Could you say that again? I don't think I've had enough coffee this morning. Maybe you weren't coming through clearly. Did you say who was fired? Did you say Barry Trotz?
That's what I said.
Oh, my gosh. You've got to be kidding me.
Dead serious.
Islanders, what a stupid franchise they are. My goodness. Wow. I mean, I am dumbfounded by that. Look, I'm just going to be upfront and honest. As you guys know, I am not the person to ask about Barry Trotz. I will not give you an unbiased answer. I am very, very biased. I've logged way too much time with Barry Trotz over the years. To give you an unbiased answer. I mean, it's not fair to anybody. It's not fair to John Hines. It's not fair to the Predators, but I will always root for Barry Trotz, and I will always be a huge, huge Barry Trotz fan. I am dumbfounded that the Islanders fired him, but I guess, you know, that'll start a lot of talk here whenever this series ends, whenever that is. There's no doubt people will go down that rabbit hole, and I don't know how I'm going to handle that. Again, I don't know how I'm going to handle that. Wow. I'm still a little just shocked by that. I get it. Their season was bad, but so many things went wrong, and it's like he doesn't get one pass. He doesn't get a pass here. Like, really?
For that franchise?
He's been there? Right, for that franchise. He doesn't get a pass here? Wow. Amazing. So
it's incredible. I mean, like, this league does this to coaches more than any other league. We talk about this quite a bit, but that's incredibly dumb. And so I hear you, Darren, on the, you know, the personal feelings. I mean everyone I know here who has covered the Preds during his time, I feel like it's pretty unanimous, right? But separate that and just what you think could happen here.
Well, I mean, just think about it, Joe. Think about all the coaches you've covered over the years, and the coach that you've, let's say, covered the most, that you got the absolute closest to. I mean, as close as you can possibly get to a coach. And you also realize they may be the best human being you've ever been around as well to boot. Like, how do you push, you know, over a long period of time, how do you push those feelings aside? For me, it's impossible. So I don't know how you would handle that. I don't know who that person is, but I know you've covered sports for a long time and you've gotten close to coaches. So whoever that example is for you, that's very to me.
So, Darren, with that in mind, obviously we'll have time to talk about the Barry Trotz thing, because that is quite the move by the New York Islanders. Meanwhile, the Preds sit here down.
I got plenty of time, Robbie. Robbie, I got plenty of time. I'm on 24. Let's just talk, man.
That's true. You got all day. That's right.
I got all day, man. I'm not in a hurry at all.
The Preds down 0-3 tonight heading into Game 4. And look, obviously, we know this. the series is not over, but it's practically over. I mean, the idea of beating Colorado four consecutive times is very, very challenging, to say the least, if you're the Predators. We'll see if they can get it done tonight and force a Game 5. What did you see out of them in Game 3? And if you're John Hines tonight, is there another bullet left in the chamber, do you think? Is there anything else that you think John Hines can bring out lineup-wise tonight that they've not tried yet at this point?
This is going to probably come off weird, but I actually think Game 3 was their best game. And it should have been their best game, right? They're at home. They're down 0-2. They've never lost Game 3 in their franchise history when they've been down 0-2 six times. I mean, there was a lot working in their favor. It's matinee hockey on a Saturday. It's playoffs. I mean, you know, they had a lot of things working in their favor. I thought it was their best game. I thought Game 2, Connor Ingram deserved all the credit that, you know, he deserved and all the talk that he got, because, quite frankly, I didn't think they were that great. I thought they were good in the first period, and then they were on their heels most of the game. And it, you know, yeah, you look at the score, and if you just see 2-1 in overtime, you're like, wow, what a really competitive game. I mean, yeah, it was competitive, but I didn't think it was a great game by them by any stretch. So I thought Game 3 was their best game. Look, guys, we've talked about this, I don't know how many times on Mondays. You guys have talked about it on your show. We've talked about it on our show. I don't know how the narrative changes in Game 86. Of your season. This team has been the most penalized team in the league all year, and how does that come to a screeching halt? The answer is I don't think it does. I mean, and it's, you know, it bit them. It bit them bad in Game 3, you know, four power play goals, I mean. So, what was Colorado, 4 of 5?
Yeah.
I mean,
yep.
Do we expect it to stop tonight? No, I don't think so. I don't think it's going to change. So, I mean, that is one element. UC Saros is not being in there. It's obviously, it factors in. Does it change the whole complexion of the series? I don't know, but, man, it accounts for something. Don't tell me UC Saros doesn't account for something if you believe he's one of the best goaltenders in the league. Like, it has to. So that is an element that hasn't been available. There are too many penalties. And there's the other part is just guys. Too many guys have hit, I think, the proverbial wall. I think some of these young guys, and look, you know, I've been coming on this hit. Robbie, I brought this up to you in pregame on Saturday. I've been saying move Tanner Janot up for a month.
Yeah.
And it finally happened. But Tanner Janot may be one of those guys that, well, not maybe. His stats say he's hit a wall. He has 1 point in 18 games. That is the entire month of April and these three playoff games. 1 point. So, I mean, you're just not getting the production out of Tanner Janot that you got for the bulk of the season. Philip Forsberg doesn't have a point in the playoffs. He has 42 goals in the regular season. He's a vital player to what you do, and he has no points in the playoffs. So I just think there's a whole lot of factors, and I'm just not sure really much is going to change. I mean, Colorado is just so fast. They're so talented. And I'm just, you know, I think the Predators, I guess they've got another gear. They can still play a better game, and they'll have to do that to try to keep the series alive tonight.
What have you seen specifically from Forsberg in this series, Darren?
I mean, I don't want to say he's had a bad series. I mean, I know he's not appearing on the score sheet. I don't know, Joe. I mean, he's had double ring off the post. I don't really know if Forsberg is doing anything different. I don't know if it's like, oh my gosh, he has not shown up in the playoffs. No, he hasn't shown up on the score sheet, but it's not like I've been looking at his play and going and then thinking to myself, wow, what a garbage series Forsberg is having. That's not in play, so I don't know. I don't know why he hasn't had more success. But, I mean, who's kidding who? Who's had any more success? Other than Matt Duchene, who can we really say that about on this
yeah.
team? I mean, who's having success when it comes to the score sheet other than Matt Duchene? The answer is really nobody. I thought Trennan played a really good game in Game 2. But other than that, I mean, is anybody really standing out? My answer is no. Nobody's really – I mean, Yossi has just been Yossi. I don't think there's been any drop-off from him, but I just don't think anybody else is standing out, Joe. I don't really know if that's a great answer or what you're looking for, but I just think Philip Forsberg just falls in a long line of a lot of guys. I don't think they're having a horrible series. They're just – you can't just be okay in a series against Colorado. You have to be exceptional. And right now, Matt Duchene and probably Roman Yossi and Connor Ingram for a game have been exceptional. And other than that, you know, it's just not been good enough to beat a team like Colorado.
Well, Darren, you're exceptional every week here on the program on Mondays at 9 o'clock and every day on Darren Donica Chase from 10 to 2. Enjoy yourself on I-24, and we'll hear from you here in about 45 minutes.
Thank you for bringing 12 minutes of joy on I-24. Now back to hell. Thank you.
Thank you, Darren. We appreciate you. We'll take your thoughts on our text line,
right,
driven
thanks,
by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. We got some tickets to give away. Do you want to be in the house tonight for Game 4 as the Preds take on the Avalanche? Be caller 5, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Caller number 5 will win a pair of tickets to Game 4 coming up tonight between the Predators and the Colorado Avalanche. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. There's a new way to hear us on Nashville's best sports talk, ESPN 102.5 The Game. You can check us out on 106.3 from downtown Nashville to Spring Hill on I-65 and to Murfreesboro on I-24. You now have two great choices to hear our sports programming and the Nashville Predators. Check it out now at 106.3 and save it as a preset. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Make sure you join ESPN 102.5 The Game for the Music City Celebrity Golf Tournament benefiting Folds of Honor coming up next week, May 16th at Hermitage Golf Course. Put your team together and come play with athletes, musicians, and other local celebrities. You can sign up at thegamenashville.com/golf. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Reacting to a lot of things. Number one, looking ahead to Game 4 tonight between the Preds and the Colorado Avalanche. Preds down 0-3 in that series. They'll try to hold off elimination tonight and force a Game 5 in Colorado. Puck drop at 8:30, pregame at 7:30 here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And Joe, in the NHL, the New York Islanders have fired Barry Trotz. I'm blown away by this. I'm blown away that they made that decision to fire him. And Lou Lamoriello, GM of the Islanders, is speaking right now. And his latest quote says, you know, it's my job to make the best decision for the organization going forward, and I believe this group of players needs a new voice. It's in no way negative on Barry Trotz. It's just like, okay, you can talk yourself into anything in the NHL, can't you?
Need a new voice, though this voice has been by far the most successful in decades. But, hey, had one
Hall
bad
of Fame
year,
hockey
so.
Coach.
Yeah. Let's I mean, is that a – is that a, like, fire someone to save your own job?
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, it's amazing. And, Joe, as you would expect on our text line, basically the only thing it is right now for the last 15 minutes has been Predators fans
Trotz,
now
Trotz,
clamoring
Trotz.
For Barry Trotz to be hired by the Nashville Predators. And, again, number one, they're still playing hockey, so they're going to have a game tonight coming up in Game 4.
Yeah.
But we've talked about this. Like, this series is over. If the Predators are not winning four games in a row against the Colorado Avalanche, it's just not going to happen. You know, has it happened in the NHL before? Yep, several times. There have been teams that have come back from 0-3 deficits. But it's pretty clear Colorado is the better team in this series. And I just, whether it's tonight in Game 4 or it's Game 5, the Predators could extend it to 6. The idea of them beating Colorado four times in a row just doesn't seem realistic to me. So we'll see what happens on that front and what sort of fight the Predators can show tonight in Game 4. But we've talked about this all show, the trajectory of the franchise. How do you view it? And there have been people that have answered it a ton of different ways. Some want Hines out. Some want Poile out. Some think you're crazy for talking about firing either one of them. It's been kind of a variety of opinions this morning. I do wonder, like, if you're a Preds fan, or, heck, even if you're a member of the ownership group or in the organization, does Barry Trotz being available out there right now change the way you view anything? If their season ends tonight, let's say they get swept tonight and you're out of the playoffs, you know, does Barry Trotz being available change the way you view John Hines? I don't know. I don't know what the answer to that question is.
Well, and then it's the question of, you know, it's the question as it relates to Poile, you know, which is, I guess this is like, we can do a nice Twitter poll here, is, you know, if David Poile, you know, you're mad at David Poile. If David Poile hires Barry Trotz, are you cool sticking with David Poile? I mean, yeah. It's, you know, and again, now this is immediately just, you know, John Hines, who we've been, I think, pretty consistent, and I think we've been accurate, too, by the way, on John Hines doing a good job. But it's like people, you know, and so some fans have been out on him and have been down on him and all that stuff. And so, you know, there's a wide range of opinions. But I think even fans who have liked the job he's done now are like, Trotz? Trotz? I mean, Steve Yzerman right now should be – he should be flying to wherever Barry Trotz is. And I mean, you know, to me, he's – this is a huge mistake by the Islanders and a huge score for someone. You feel like Barry Trotz – let's say Barry Trotz – I mean, this is purely hypothetical.
Sure.
Had an opportunity to come back here, but he also had an opportunity with, like, the Red Wings or another, you know, maybe a chance at a few different jobs, which I think, I mean, I think he's going to be very pursued because he should be, obviously, at 59. He's still, you know, got good years left. That's right, 59?
59, yep.
Yeah. So would he pick Nashville?
I think he might. Look, it depends on what he wants. Now, obviously, he's
familiar. Don't you want a good team?
But that's the thing. Like, does he want the opportunity to win another championship immediately? Well, odds are, if you're being hired, that place probably doesn't exist.
True.
You know,
sometimes
it does.
Because that's the NHL.
Yeah. Like, let's say
Vegas.
Yeah, like maybe it is Vegas. I mean, maybe they move on from Peter DeBoer, or maybe.
But when he went in there, they were a very good team, for example.
Well, let's just throw this out there. Let's say, I don't think this will happen, but let's say Colorado gets to the next series and St. Louis or Minnesota take them down. You're talking about a second-round playoff loss, and that would then be 3 years in a row
where
you've been unbelievably good in the regular season and you've never gotten to the Western Conference final. Could Bednar be fired then? I doubt he would be if they got to the second round.
Less shocking than this.
It'd be less shocking than this, for sure. So, you know, that would obviously be a scenario where you're like, yeah, okay, I'll take that job. But there's not a lot of those jobs out there that exist. Like you mentioned it, the Red Wings are out there. You've got – well, actually, the Red Wings hadn't even fired Jeff Lashem yet. So,
is that right?
I don't think so.
I thought they did. It's just
no,
assumed.
They did. Never mind.
Okay, yeah, yeah. Okay.
I'm stupid. They did fire Jeff Blashill.
I mean, because Yzerman said it. You know, it wasn't a bleep
it
show.
Wasn't, yeah. Yay. It wasn't totally bad
it
this
the
year.
The worst coach ever.
So, you know, it's one of those things where there's going to be a lot of people looking for Barry Trotz's services. I think the connection that he has here, obviously, would give the Predators a pretty good chance. Now, the Predators may not even want to pursue this. I don't know. They may love John Hines, and he's their guy moving forward. And, you know.
They just haven't gotten around to giving this extension should have given him already.
Well, maybe there's that too. But if you're – that's the other thing. Like, is David Poile the one making that decision? Is he going to be the one that if you decide to go that route, is Poile the one calling the shots? I don't know. I just know that this is a development that I did not expect to happen that has now been tossed right in the middle of this, and that's all the text line is. It's just, I mean, I'm going through like
galore.
45 texts in a row here that are just nothing but hire Barry Trotz on the text line.
By the way, I have to give credit for this. William, because earlier when this happened, previous segment, I said, you know, now he muddies the water. And he said, Trotz muddied the water, huh? Trotz. Very well done, William.
Yes.
Good word play, William. Nice job. Yeah, wow. Oh, but don't worry. We've got an Igor Afanasyev take two. When is he going to be ready?
Igor Afanasyev?
Yeah.
He was okay in Milwaukee this year.
Luke Evangelista.
Well, he's an interesting guy heading in.
He is an
year.
Interesting prospect.
I don't know.
I'm just trying to find the non-Trotz text on the text line, okay?
Yes.
Edmonton, as someone brings up, would be interesting possibly too.
I mean, if Edmonton wins this series, it'd be interesting to see what they do. I mean, they fired Dave Tippett and then have been kind of on a nice run since then. But I don't know. There's a lot of intriguing possibilities up there. don't know. I'm interested to see where Barry Trotz lands. Like, I've always assumed that one day he's coming back here. I didn't think it would be as a coach. But he kind of talked about this when he got, you know, let go here by the Predators, about the idea of maybe one day coming back and being a part of the organization, and whether that's in a front office role or a management role or just being an advisor or something like that. Like, I still think that's probably in the cards one day here, although a lot's happened since then. I mean, he's won a cup. He's been in two different organizations, so we'll see what happens there. I always thought one day he'd come back. I never thought it would be as a coach. I will say, I am raising my eyebrows a little bit with the timing of all this.
It makes it good for us. And by the way, I totally get what Darren was saying on Trotz. I just wanted to get him to just put it aside and guess what he thinks might happen here.
Yeah.
You know. And also, by the way, no, all coaches I covered hate my guts, so I have no one like that. But it sounds nice.
We do have, you know, a friend of our show and college basketball analyst here.
That's
on
true.
Robbie and Rexroad.
That's true. Robbie and Rexroad, college hoops analyst Tom Izzo. That was some ups and downs there. But it's all fine.
That's right. We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Pred. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. We'll get back into your thoughts on the state of the Preds franchise. What do you make of the way this series has played out thus far, and where do the Predators go from here starting tonight in Game 4? 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here with you on this Monday morning. Joe and I live from Pete and Terry's Tavern down here at Bridgestone Arena. Taking your thoughts on the Preds on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This Barry Trotz thing. So we talked last segment, Lou Lamoriello, GM of the Islanders, coming out and said, you know, it was his decision to fire Barry Trotz. It felt like the players needed a new voice in the room. Has since said that he takes sole responsibility for the decision to relieve Barry Trotz of his head coaching duties, and says he did not consult with the players. So it feels like the players need a new voice, and yet did not consult with the players. Something doesn't quite add up to me there, Joe Rexroad.
Yeah. I have no idea what's going on in the room or what's being said, or, you know, whether the players feel this way or that way. But I just feel like – I just have a feeling they need a new voice. This happens all the time.
Yeah.
But it's comical. A lot of times it's an either-or situation.
By the way, some news. I don't think a big surprise here, but the 2022 Norris Trophy finalists have been announced. Victor Hedman of the Lightning, Cale Makar of the Colorado Avalanche, Roman Josi of the Nashville Predators. So not a big surprise there. Roman Josi officially a Norris Trophy finalist once again, and I would say that it's probably down to him and Makar at this point. I guess.
I would think so. And those three, probably this could be, you know, sometimes with these awards you have sort of an outlier. I mean, those three could be finalists like multiple times ahead.
I mean, Victor Hedman's a finalist every year.
Put him in every year, and yeah.
I got a lot of thoughts on the text line, including some for Barry Trotz for GM.
We have a
text now that says, is Trotz going to take Crispy's spot on the broadcast?
Oh.
So Trotz going from behind the bench to hanging out with Lindsay Rowley on the Preds broadcast.
Maybe Trotz can be GM, announcer, and also take over, become the face of the ownership group.
Yeah, maybe so. A lot of possibilities.
Just do it all, man.
This is going to be all Preds fans talk about for the next few days. It's pretty unbelievable. Dennis on the text line says, I don't understand going through a season with one roster, then in the playoffs we see guys like Olivier and Glass. If you think those are the guys that give you the best chance in the playoffs, then play them all season. You either like them or you don't. That's coming from Dennis on the text line. That's an interesting point because I've heard a couple of fans say this. Like, you've gone through basically 82 games this year, and Olivier's not really been a part of it until the end. And Glass has not been a part of it until the end, and now you're playing those guys?
Yeah.
It's interesting. I mean, Cousins was a scratch the other night. McCarron was a scratch the other night as well. I don't know what they're going to do lineup-wise coming up tonight in Game 4, but it just feels like, to me, you're just searching for it right now if you're the Predators to find something that works against this Colorado team. And I do agree with Darren. Like, I thought 5-on-5, the last game, was by far their best of the series. It just fell apart on you with special teams. You know, I don't put a whole lot of thought into the Olivier Glass thing. Like, I think John Hines and the Predators are just searching for something that works, and you got to be able to skate with this team.
Yeah, it's a fair point. I mean, sure. I hear exactly what you're saying. Like, okay, then why are you just trying? But what it really speaks to is that in your forward group, you have a bunch of just interchangeable parts that really aren't doing much for you.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is the issue. So you've had stuff that's worked really, really well, right? You've had players who have performed at an extremely high level this year, more than any other year in Preds history. I mean, you got records broken galore, and you got the first two 40-goal scores on that, but also you have some holes in that lineup that really have not been filled all year.
Well, and look, everybody is all over Luke Cunnan right now, and trust me, I get it. I've been all over Luke Cunnan for the last 3 months. He's not a top six player. They keep trying to put him in that role, and I don't understand it. To me, it's like trying to force a square peg into a round hole. It's not going to work. But the other point that you think about when that happens is, all right, well, who is? Like, who is the top six? They moved Janot up, so they addressed that part of it. Janot got moved up into the top six the last game. But to Darren's point, he's got 1 point in his last 18 games. Luke Cunnan has not been productive this year offensively. Ellie Tolvanen scored a power play goal in the last game, but he's not been productive all season. So the bottom line is you got Forsberg and Duchesne, and I know Forsberg has not played overly well in this series. But as far as your top six is concerned, there's four guys you feel okay about. Duchesne, Forsberg, obviously Granlund and Johansson up the middle. Other than that, you're kind of searching for those other two, and they've been searching for that all year. That's why I set the deadline. Maybe not be a bad idea to go find a forward that could come in and play in the top six. They didn't go that route. I understand it. But to me, you know, if Luke Cunnan's in the top six, if Ellie Tolvanen's in the top six, if Tanner Janot's in the top six, doesn't make a whole lot of difference to me at this point. It's just not gone well, regardless of what you've tried there.
Yeah, to the point of the deadline, if someone just told you the information, David Poile will trade a second-round pick at the trading deadline,
yeah,
then I would assume we would be talking about
a forward. I thought we'd be talking, forward who you would, know, Phil Kessel or something.
But did he get Jeremy Lauzon, though?
They did. They did.
So, got that. Actually, he's been okay.
He made a horrible decision in game two that led to McKinnon's goal, but, I mean, he's been okay.
Yeah.
He's not worth a second round pick.
No.
But he's been okay. Clay in Cunningham texting in says, Trots for $10 million per year to play at a top six forward spot. Barry, got something for you here. Come in here and you're gonna play as well.
I hear he's actually quite a skater for his age. So
he is.
It's worth a shot there. So he was 8 years ago, correct? 8 years ago.
Yep.
Isn't that right? They had a bad year, didn't make the playoffs.
2 years in a row, yep.
Yeah, 2 years in a row, and then Poile makes the move. So you think Trots would, in this fantasy hypothetical scenario that may never come close to materializing, you think he would come back? And if it's you're working with David Poile and you're just coming back home,
I think he would. I think you'd think about it. Yeah. Again, you know, barring the idea of, you know, a Colorado or an Edmonton or somebody of that ilk being open in terms of the job and you feel like you got a chance to win right now, that could ultimately be more appealing. But I do, like, if he still wants to coach and he wanted to come back here, and I think you take a look at it if you're the Predators.
Would there be any appeal in a somewhat promising young team with Steve Yzerman at the helm?
Yeah.
Asking for a friend? Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Can you imagine? That'd go over well here in Nashville. Barry Trotz, head coach of the Detroit Red Wings.
That would actually,
go back to 2007. Tell somebody that.
Yeah, well, that would actually kind of be it would kind of be a nice little shot from him. You know, for way later, like, yeah, now I'm going to go to the Red Wings instead of you. Meanwhile, we've all fired John Hines.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Like, I said this.
You fired.
I said this in the last segment, like, or maybe it was a couple segments ago. Barry Trotz being available does not change the way I feel about John Hines. Like, I think John Hines has done a really good job, and I think John Hines deserves to be the head coach of this team next year. Now, having said that, if you're asking me who I think is a better coach, it's Barry Trotz. He's a Hall of Fame coach. I mean, the guy is, what, fourth all-time in the NHL in the history of the whole league and wins?
Well, of course, yeah.
I mean, it's not comparable.
There's no comparison in achievement. But I guess, the other side would say, okay, what has John Hines done to get fired now? That's right. No, I'm sorry. He challenged the goaltender. That's fireable. But seriously,
yeah.
What has John Hines done to be fired? I don't think that he's – I don't think his job performance warrants a firing at all.
No, I don't think so either. Now, there are Predators fans that will vehemently disagree with that, and we've not heard from him much this year. Heard from him a lot more the last couple of weeks and certainly in this series. I mean, just going through my Twitter the other night after Game 3, there was a whole lot of that. There was a whole lot of that for Poile. And I understand it. You're fans. You're frustrated. You're down 0-3 in a series against a team that, quite frankly, don't have much of a chance to come back against. I get it. So I understand the frustration there, but I don't know. This is a very – very interesting development. This really ties into the conversation we've been having all day. Like, how do you view this team? Where do you view this franchise? Are they close to being competitive? Because if you're going by strictly results right now, you're on the verge of getting swept by Colorado, a team that I think everybody identifies as a Stanley Cup contender. A lot of people identify as a Stanley Cup favorite. If that's the bar, right now you're not very close to that. Based on ice results in this playoff series. Now, you know, is the matchup different against Calgary? Do you look closer? Maybe. Is Calgary a Stanley Cup contender? I think so, but
they haven't looked
like it so far in the playoffs. So I understand if it's some of its opponent base, but this is just yet another layer to the Predators fans looking at this team and saying, all right, what exactly are these guys? Where exactly is the direction that they're headed right now?
Dennis says, ask Forsberg if he wants Hines or Trotz.
Just go with whoever he says.
Ask him if he wants Poile, too.
Yeah. Phil, you're making all the decisions. We know you don't have a point yet in the series, but you're making all the decisions right now.
Well, there's a popular overreaction, though, too, is, you know, he hasn't registered in three games. So he's never Can't scored in the playoffs, and how could you possibly give him a contract? Let him walk.
Milo on the text line says, if Barry Trotz is a better coach than Hines, then why do you think the coach should be Hines? It makes no sense. I'm saying that Hines has not done anything to, for me, like his performance has not warranted firing him. Now, if you told me today that you were going to go hire Barry Trotz, I'd say, yeah, I want you to go ahead and do that. Like, that would be my reaction to that. All I'm saying is, on its face, on what we know here, I don't think that John Hines has done a bad job with the Predators.
No.
Let me put it that way.
No. He's done a good job. So here's an online poll. There's a Freudian slip. So, Twitter poll. You're a Preds fan. You can choose Poile and Trotz, or you can choose blow it up with an unknown new GM, new coach.
What do you do?
What are you choosing? Maybe I'll do that. Maybe I'll do that as a Twitter poll. It'll be my third one ever, right?
I think you should. And you can hit us up on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts, offer our final thoughts leading up to Game 4 tonight as well. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day here on Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Taking your thoughts on the Preds on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Let's get to your thoughts on the Preds. Jeremy on the text line says, Trotz returns to the Preds and so does the dump and chase.
Yes.
What exactly do you think they're doing out there right now?
Yeah, that's like a bad way to say set up the forecheck.
Right? Believe it or not, every team dumps and chases.
Yeah.
Now, some do it more than others.
Some teams have people who can always weave into the offensive zone.
Like Nathan MacKinnon magically. Doesn't dump the puck a whole lot. I'll give you that.
Yes.
But he does sometimes.
The dump and chase. But did you read Dennis's text? I'm not going to read it on the air. But it's
no, did not.
All right. Well. Anyway. Yeah. There's a lot. There's a lot to this. This is. It's going to be wild. It was already going to be wild, and it's going
to
be wild.
It was already, and now it's gone to a different level. So Game 4 tonight coming up between the Preds and the Colorado Avalanche. Obviously, in an 0-3 hole, it's an uphill climb now for the Predators. 5-on-5, like, if you could play the same game you played in Game 3, like, you'll feel like you're in a pretty good spot. The power play, or more specifically the penalty kill, has got to obviously get a whole lot better in Game 4 if you're going to have a chance to hang around. As you look at this game tonight, I mean, you can focus on the 0-3 hole, and this was kind of John Hines' message after the game. It's not really about 0-3 anymore. You just got to find a way to win a game. And that's what your job is tonight if you're the Predators. Win a game, get this thing to Game 5, and See what happens at that point. But if you're John Hines, I would be surprised if there's many lineup tweaks tonight. Like, I think at this point, it just kind of is what it is. You go for it. I like the lineup in game three. I'd probably roll the same thing out there again in game four and take your chances that if you do get on the penalty kill tonight, and they will at some point, that your PK just performs better tonight than it did the other night.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, I guess I'd expect, I don't know, some kind. Like, when you lose a game, it's almost like you're mandated as a coach in this
to
league
do something.
To, like, change somebody. But
well, do you think, should they go Forsberg, Johansson, Duchesne tonight? Just load up on that top line.
You'd make that case. I think you'd make that case. I mean, you could make the case that Nick Cousins could be back in.
Could be.
You know, if not, Nick Cousins may have played his final
I think
shift
there's a chance
with
that
the Preds. Anyway. Well, I'm just saying, like,
yeah.
He may be done now, you know, if he doesn't play tonight. And, of course, also, this could be the last game for number 9.
Yeah.
In the Nashville Predators uniform. Along with all the other things going on right now.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot at stake here as you move forward here. Look, he's got to play better, too. Like, Philip Forsberg, you know, he's been so sensational all year. And I agree with Darren. Like, I don't think he's been really bad in this series. He put one off the post on the 5-on-3 in game two. Had a good look the other day. Had a good look in the overtime in game two as well, where he made a great move to cut it to the middle of the ice. Had a shot on the back end, and, you know, Kemper made a good save in that game. Last game, he danced. I think it was Girard again. He just turned him inside out. Sammy Girard, every time Forsberg's got the puck, has got to be like, man, will you please stop? Just leave me alone. But got the shot off, missed it a little bit wide. Like, there's a difference in just a couple of inches one way or the other. Preds take a 2-1 lead in game two on that 5-on-3, and maybe we're having a different discussion right now about the series and about Philip Forsberg. But bottom line is, it's 3 games, 0 points. It's not good enough this time of year from Philip Forsberg.
Yeah, no. I mean, this is how players get judged more than anything. You know, I think some people forget that he's had good postseasons in the past, but it hasn't been as much lately. That's a big part of, you know, it's a big part of as you're the Preds in these negotiations, wherever the heck they are, you know, looking at the value of a player and, you know, what they do in the postseason means a ton. Still think he's done enough, and he does enough on a regular basis, you know, as a player, that you want to, you know, do whatever you can to keep Philip Forsberg. I mean, again, you know, I mean, if trade protection is part of it, the numbers are part of it, whatever, if he walks, then you just lost him for nothing. So even if, you know, you're going to go into some different era and you're going to end up, you know, getting younger and you're going to be willing to take a step back, well, you know, That's why you sign him and then also don't give trade protection.
Yep.
Probably, you know, kind of, that's a big deal. That's why it's been very helpful for David Poile to be able to move Ellis and Arvidsson recently, things that actually help the Preds get better.
Make sure you check out the Nashville Predators in action tonight in the 2022 Stanley Cup playoffs. Game four coming up tonight at Bridgestone Arena. Round one playoff tickets are on sale now at NashvillePredators.com/tickets. These are the games that you don't want to miss. Epic goals, massive wins, and historic moments. If you've never checked out a playoff game before, I can tell you, it's one of the coolest things in all of sports. Visit NashvillePredators.com/tickets to be there for all the action. Stay with us, Smashville, and paint the town Preds. That's NashvillePredators.com/tickets. Quickly, let's go to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. I got a texter that says he's a defensive liability, talking about Forsberg. Typically, I disagree with that. This series has not been great from Forsberg defensively. Some of it has come from when he's in his own zone. I think he's trying to do a little too much to chip it out of there. He's gotten caught a couple of times. But normally, I think he's pretty good defensively. That has not been the case lately, though.
Rebecca says Forsberg doesn't want to be a Predator. He's still upset about Arvidsson, even though it was a business decision. You think you buy that?
I don't know that he's still upset about that, although I will say, like, the popular
–
he was upset at the time. I don't think there's any question about that. The popular idea, though, from some in Preds media is if he does walk, LA's where he's going. I don't know about that one way or the other, but that's the theory that's out there.
Forsberg in LA, AJ Brown in Philly.
Yeah, don't have to answer that question anymore of who signs first, AJ Brown or
Philip Forsberg. AJ signed.
Who signs never first? AJ Brown.
Who signs never first? We'll see if the Preds can stay alive coming up tonight in Game 4. Puck drop at 8:30, pregame at 7:30 here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. By the way, I will have a special hour-and-a-half edition of Preds Insiders starting at 6 o'clock tonight. So from 6 to 7:30, yours truly will be breaking down Game 4 in advance of the Preds and the Avalanche. So if you didn't get enough of me this morning, you'll get way more than enough of me tonight at 6 o'clock.
If you want to just take like a couple segments of this and just kind of float, just like block out my voice. Yeah.
Just talking to air out there.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Nick Kieser, great job today at Network Control. We appreciate you.
Nick's already
moved already
on.
Gone. He's already moved on.
Whatever, dude.
No, I'm right here, guys.
Thank you, Nick.
I'm right here.
We appreciate you.
Thanks, Nick.
You are very welcome. Very
welcome. That's going to do it for us today here on Robbie and Rextro. Darren Donica Chase coming up next. They'll get you set for all things Game 4 and react to Barry Trotz being fired by the New York Islanders. You're listening to ESPN 102.5 The Game.